Thank you.
All right. So it's wonderful to hear Colorado kind of getting called out there. I love it. We've had a very exciting 6-7 years. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about it today. And I'm going to talk more from kind of an implementation and practicality level of how we did it. And in doing so, I'm going to tell you a little bit kind of about the state snapshot, but then I'm going to talk specifically about how we actually rolled things out in one of our Title X systems in Colorado. So with up here sitting with me, and I wish they could be up here to talk as well, is Carrie Kuka and Tara Thomas-Gale, both with Denver Health, which is a big hospital and community health center system in the Denver area, and I'll talk more about that later. I have nothing to disclose. And our objectives for today are really to help you guys walk away. If you're in a position that you want to look at doing something similar, look at increasing LARC, that you go away with some tools to help you do so and kind of learn from the lessons that we learned along the way. And Carrie passed out a worksheet that some of you may have. If you don't, feel free to contact us. Our contact information is going to be on the last slide. But it actually goes through the steps to help you identify some of the strengths and barriers and opportunities that are in your clinics or communities. So that'll be really helpful, and feel free to pass those around if you have them. So I'm going to talk a little bit, like I said, give you a quick overview of the Colorado Family Planning Initiative. The purpose of the initiative ultimately was to reduce unintended pregnancy in Colorado, but we were looking at doing that by increasing access to family planning services and specifically increasing access to LARC. And so what we did, the initiative was implemented in the Title X system in Colorado. It was rolled out through all of our Title X clinics. We have clinics in 35 of our 65 counties. But that 35-county area represents 95% of the state's population. So we have pretty good reach. We do have some holes, and we recognize that, and we work on that. But that's a whole other issue for another day. And ultimately, we provided funding for clinics to expand services in general. So for some of them, it was clinic renovations to increase actual exam room space. It was increasing clinic efficiency, hiring additional providers, whatever they needed to see more clients. And then we spent a whole bunch of money just purchasing devices. So we purchased IUDs and implants. We saw big results. So when we first started, we were seeing just over 50,000 clients a year. And that grew to almost 65,000 clients per year in 2012, which was our peak, and we've kind of settled down to just over 60,000 now, which we expected we would kind of overshoot and then kind of find a new normal. We have inserted over 30,000 LARC devices in the past 6 years, and that continues to go up. And LARC use, when we first started among our Title X clients, we had about 4.5% of our clients using a LARC method, and we're actually, at the data I just pulled, is actually over 20% now. And that's, the numbers, I pulled out this younger age group, but it's really reflective of our whole population as well. It's very similar. We don't see a huge difference. So this just kind of gives you a snapshot of what was happening in Colorado versus the country, and then Denver, which we'll talk about specifically. So as you can see, the teen fertility rate has been going down nationally. It was going down in Colorado as well. And then all of a sudden, in 2009 and 10, we started seeing a massive decline. And we actually have 2013 data that we're continuing that trajectory. And one of the questions we get when we talk about our teen pregnancy rate going down is everybody says, yeah, well, it's going down across the whole country. And if you look at the last 3 years of data, we've dropped faster and quicker than any other state in the country. So the CDC just put out a report this summer that had the teen pregnancy trends for the whole country, state by state, for the last 20 years. And it was really easy for us to then pull out. And we had jumped when we started this initiative, we were ranked 29th in the country. We're now ranked 19th. So again, you can see us kind of leapfrogging some of those other states. And the biggest shift during this time was seeing that massive increase in LARC use. One of the other things that is really kind of remarkable that we've seen happen in Colorado is the decline in the number of second and higher order births among teens. So these are teens giving birth for the second, third, fourth time. Huge, huge high-risk group here. And these births are in the kiddos that are born are so high risk for other issues. This is really a big area to focus on. And one of the efforts of the initiative has really been to promote postpartum LARC use, but then also counseling as part of the prenatal visit. And so our postpartum contraceptive use, our LARC use among teen moms is over 50%, which is huge. And in fact, that was another one the CDC called us up. They released a report. They said, are these numbers right? And we said, yeah, they are. And they said, well, can you tell us what's going on? And we said, sure. So we also have seen a number of additional benefits occur during the same time period. So we've seen a 40% reduction in abortions among our teens. We've seen a 25% reduction in WIC enrollment. That's another one of those numbers that's dropping nationwide. But during this same time period, Colorado's dropping faster than the rest of the country. So we can't say, we weren't set up as a study to say this absolutely caused this, but it's following the same trends, what we would expect. We also saw a decrease in the number of Medicaid-covered births for women 15 to 19, 29. And the interesting thing is during this time frame, our Medicaid enrollment numbers were going up. That was when the economy went down, so we had more people income qualifying, and Colorado actually expanded their Medicaid eligibility prior to ACA for certain groups. And so Medicaid enrollment was going up, but the number of births they were covering was going down, which is not what you would expect. Over the first 3 years of the program, we estimate that approximately 7,000 births were averted that would have been covered by Medicaid had they occurred. And as I mentioned, Medicaid enrollment was rising during this time. And that 7,000 births translates into an estimated $79 million savings just for prenatal, labor delivery, and first-year health costs of the infant. So it's pretty huge. So that was kind of the state snapshot. I'm going to talk a little bit about what it actually looked like at a clinic level and how we implemented. So I'm going to talk about Denver Health, which, as I mentioned briefly, it's an integrated safety net healthcare system. They have a large hospital in Denver, and then they have 8 community health centers and 16 school-based health centers that are associated with it. And within the community health centers, they're all Title X clinics. The school-based health centers offer reproductive health care, and I'll go into this in a couple slides. They are not Title X clinics, but I want to make that distinction there. But they work very closely. And the school-based health centers see almost 3,000 clients per year, and the community health centers, the Title X clinics, serve around 10,000 family planning clients per year. So when this was implemented, you can imagine trying to do some big kind of practice change, systems change in a system that's this big and that complicated and integrated. But there's some kind of simple things as to why it worked and why we were able to. And one of the big focuses when the initiative started was to train healthcare providers. And it wasn't just training them in insertion techniques. It was the overall contraceptive counseling. It was counseling around side effects. One of the really interesting things we saw, when we first started, the implant was still relatively new. And our clinicians at Denver Health and elsewhere weren't familiar with the bleeding patterns that would happen afterwards. There was this kind of general knowledge that there would be some abnormal bleeding, but the message didn't really get through that everybody's going to bleed abnormally for like the first 3 or 4 months. And once they learned how to counsel around that and how to deal with it, adoption went way up again, and people were much more satisfied with their methods. In addition to provider training, there was also an issue of training front desk staff and back office staff. So whether it was billing issues, which are certainly a huge thing, and that could be like a whole day-long session in itself, or just making sure that the whole clinic was set up to operate to promote these methods, to allow same-day insertions, to recognize that these really are the best, most effective methods out there. Another big piece was removing the cost barrier. And while the data may show something different, we certainly found that our clinics were operating based on cost. And it may not have even ever gotten to the point that the client knew that the cost was a barrier, but the providers knew the cost was a barrier, so they wouldn't even bring it up. And so by being able to cover the upfront cost of these methods, have them on the shelf, in stock, ready to go whenever they were needed, it really, really changed the practice of how that counseling went and how the clinical services were delivered. And so those two things really play a huge part into access. And then the other big thing that Denver Health did so well and just really, really set them apart was utilizing a health educator model, both in the community health centers as well as in the school-based health centers. And so with the health educator model, as I mentioned, the school-based health centers themselves serve almost 3,000 students per year. But what the health educators do is they're able to take that time and talk with the clients individually, go through all the methods, talk about the pros, the cons, what they've heard. And they have that time to spend versus a nurse practitioner or a nurse midwife or a physician that doesn't have that kind of time. They may want to. We certainly see that, especially at our family planning clinics. They want to answer those questions. And they want to take that time, but our clinics and our system just isn't set up to operate that way. And so allowing patients to come in and have access to a health educator who's trained and educated to do this counseling really, really shifts the satisfaction and the adoption of these methods. And so we've seen at the school-based health centers, this huge uptake in LARC methods. And what's really exciting is for many years, it was based, in terms of LARC at least, it was based strictly on having to refer out. They couldn't provide those on site. And how are all the high schools? 13 of 16 are now doing implants on site. And we're working towards IUDs on site as well. So it's, you know, already this year we've seen a huge, again, shift and even more students choosing to take that method because they can get it there that day. And they don't have to worry about getting transportation someplace. They don't have to worry about payment. It's been pretty exciting to see. So I'll leave that open. I'm going to actually leave this slide up, and it has all of our contact information. Feel free to contact any of us. We have tons and tons more data, tons and tons more else to say, but time is short, so thank you.
We again have a little bit of time for some questions, immediate questions.
Can you talk about how you removed the cost barrier? I think I know, but you didn't include it in.
Yeah, so we received a private grant to pay for the devices. And so really what it allowed us to do was treat them the same in Title X that we treat everything else in terms of sliding it to zero on the sliding fee scale. 90% of our clients are no pay anyway. Yeah, so we've been working on that with our Division of Insurance. And we actually have a rule that was put in place last year for adult dependents, so whether it's kids, partners, whatever, that all communication must go directly to the patient being served, not the policyholder. And we're working with them to get something similar in place for minors. And confidentiality is a huge issue across the country. And unfortunately, like payment, there's not one easy fix for it. It's going to be a bunch of pieced together projects, and there's a number of organizations kind of working and talking together. The National Family Planning and Reproductive Health Association has kind of a work group around different states that are working on it so we can learn from each other and share and see what works. But it's confidentiality is a huge issue.
In Colorado, Medicaid has a drop rate. So
yeah.
Most of our patients, and we have extended we do get to go Medicaid for many of our devices.
Well, they don't do EOBs for family planning services. Yeah. So they pull out, our Medicaid system pulls out all the family planning claims, and they never get put into the pot that they do explanations of benefits for. Yeah, I'm going to let Carrie talk about that one a little bit.
So very quickly, it took us 25 years to be able to dispense, even though we most of them are the principal saying, I don't believe in it or it's against my religion.
And I will say, we have a couple other school-based health centers in Colorado that are Title X clinics, and it's really that community buy-in, and there's been that will from the parents saying, this is an important service for our kids, we want it here, that's really driven that and allowed that to open up.
Okay.